its Michigan assembly plant due to ripple effects of this strike. We've already seen suppliers start to warn that they will also have to have some layoffs, at least temporarily, due to the strike.
And representatives of striking entertainment writers in the studios are talking, which is a good sign, says KCAL-TV reporter Tina Patel.
The Writers Guild has been on strike for more than 140 days now, and there have not been a lot of productive talks with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers during that time. Writers are hoping the fact that the studios have agreed to return to the table means that they recognize the cost of the strike is too great and that this needs to come to an end.
Ukraine's president is in Washington looking for support for his country's defense against the Russian invasion, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Volodymyr Zelensky will speak with the U.S. Congress with an increasing number of members who have expressed concern or opposition to continued U.S. funding of the war effort in Ukraine. Missouri Republican Josh Hawley says the Congress can't be a blank check for a war with no certain end. His fellow Republican Lindsey Graham says the U.S. must help the effort to stop Putin.
As expected, the Federal Reserve, that is, left its benchmark interest rate unchanged on Wednesday for the second time in its past three meetings. But the Fed signals that it expects to raise rates once more this year, and they see their key rate staying higher in 2024 than most analysts had predicted. A 96-year-old federal appeals court judge has been barred from hearing cases over concerns she's no longer mentally fit to serve. That story from CBS's Allison Keyes.
A judicial panel says Judge Pauline Newman refused to submit to medical testing, and now she's blocked from hearing cases for a year. She accuses her colleagues of trying to push her out because of her age.
Officials in El Paso, Texas, say they're struggling to care for the hundreds of migrants who cross the southern border every day. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is there.
The county-run shelter we were at, where they're seeing about 600 migrants a day right now, they say they're currently exploring the possibility of adding more resources, possibly more employees, having to call up more people to process additional migrants that are coming through.
Letter Turner Vanna White will remain on Wheel of Fortune for two more seasons. Her future with the show had been seen as uncertain after the longtime host Pat Sajak said that season 41 of the show would be his last. Vanna White's current contract expires at the end of Sajak's last season. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware, if you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 57 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 81. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 56. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Those Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, September 20th of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, at least for the next 3 days, until I leave for maternity leave on the end of Friday.
Yeah.
And so it's happening. It is happening. Jane Matinere, how are you doing this morning?
I am well. It's amazing to me how it just seems like your pregnancy has moved faster. I'm sure it doesn't feel that way for you. But
well,
I can't,
it's funny because you were, I told you before I told my mother because I wanted to tell my mother in person. So I think outside of Mike, I think you were the next person I told. So you've known the longest.
I'm so, that makes me feel so special.
And so you've known the longest. So you've kind of, well, you have not been feeling it. You at least have known about it and dealt with it almost every day, every work day at least, since February.
It just, and again, it just seems like it's gone so quickly. It really does.
It does. This year went by really fast.
Yeah. And then once you started showing, then all of a sudden it was like, poof.
I know.
There she is.
Now
you've got quite the little basketball there.
Oh, yeah. It's a beach ball. It's there. Greg Bach, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I thought I was the second one to know.
I don't.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. It's fine. I'm doing well. It's a interesting day today. It's nice out, I guess, but it's fun. I'm feeling good, friends.
Okay.
All right.
So I wanted to start because I feel like the last week or so, as we should, because the show is called As Goes Wisconsin,
yep,
and we pride ourselves on talking about news that is affecting our state and our communities. But every once in a while, we should also widen our scope and talk about the national things that are happening because, you know, we're like 10 days away from a government shutdown, which we have not talked about at all because we've been a little distracted with internal Wisconsin politics. But yeah, the chance of a government shutdown is increasing after House negotiations failed yesterday. And so, Jane, you were catching up on this. Can you catch us up on what actually happened?
This is a report from the Washington Post. So essentially, Republican leadership scrapped a procedural vote on a stopgap funding bill, which would only have kept things going through the end of October. But again, the moderates and then the loony loons in the right can't agree on pretty much anything.
Yeah, and so like the bill that they couldn't agree on, so the stopgap funding bill, was destined to fail in the Senate
anyway. Yep.
And it's basically these, like, it's the same, that we're kind of back to where we were in the spring with the funding bill.
Right.
And there's these like five hard right Freedom Caucus members and their razor thin majority that has kind of created a house of cards.
Well, and it's a house of McCarthy, yeah, because he's the one who made this mess. He's the one who gave away everything to become speaker. And now he's beholden to all these people. And trying to get everyone together and to agree on, it is a mess of his own making.
And so it's interesting because I would love to hear from people listening. How much have you been following the government shutdown? Or is this something that we kind of feels like, well, we've been here before.
It'll be fine.
It feels like, you know, every couple of months there's some big crisis that needs negotiation and bipartisanship. And how much do you pay attention versus how much you just assume that it's going to get figured out? 844-967-2789. Because, Greg, remind us what happens during a government shutdown.
Several government-run programs cease to happen. They cease to work. These are just a couple of examples of ones we know of. The Environmental and Food Inspection will shut down completely. National parks will shut down. So if there's a vacation happening and you want to go to Yellowstone, whoop. Now, air travel, though, will continue. TSA will have to work without pay. That will cause lines. It will cause problems with employment, Health and Human Services, Internal Revenues. I'm sure some people will be happy about that. The SNAP program, which is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, will cease. And then also another one, checks will be sent out, but Social Security and Medicare will stop with regard to taking applicants, and those applicants will be turned away. So these are just a small example of what is affected by a government shutdown, which directly affects the listener.
That last one that you pointed out, Greg, for people my age, if you've been looking down the road and you've been working all your life and you've been waiting to get on Social Security and finally get the money that you've been paying in all your adult life, they're just going to say, nope, can't take you. Sorry.
Come back when we're open.
Yeah. Can't do it now. Too bad.
And so correct me if I'm wrong, but the last government shutdown was a 35-day shutdown, which was the longest in history.
That was right before Christmas, wasn't it?
So the 35-day shutdown, the longest in U.S. history after surpassing the 21-day shutdown of 1995 and 1996, led to 380,000 federal workers being furloughed, and an additional 420,000 workers were required to work without any known payment dates during this period, forced many to find other paid work or protest against the shutdown.
I think it's a fair assumption, however, members of Congress will continue to get paid, won't they?
Yeah, well, they're
will they?
They're considered essential.
Are they?
Yeah, that's right. I served that softball up real good for you both right at the park.
I feel like that's a similar thing when we talk about, you know, like the UAW strike right now. Yeah. It's like, oh, you CEOs, like, are you essential? Or are the people who are actually making the cars
a little
essential?
More important.
And
yeah.
The other strikes that are happening, like when making new movies. It's like, do you need the actors and do you need the writers or do you need another executive to actually make the thing that gets the product that gets sold? Because as I think we've joked about before, it's like, it seems like AI could do your job a lot better than it could do mine.
A nine-year-old could do an executive's job. I want more Marvel. Make it better.
And so what I think will be interesting is ultimately, like, how much will they have to have a bipartisan agreement on this? Because Democrats are pressing McCarthy now to accept an idea that seems, you know, I think inevitable, because you think about what the razor thin margins are in the House.
He needs every vote he can get.
That he needs Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so there's a new center-left. So it's a center-left coalition called New Democrat Coalition. And there's 98 House Democrats that are part of it. And they signed a letter to McCarthy urging him to put the Senate's bipartisan appropriation bills up for the vote in the House rather than trying to pass the House party line bills that they can't, their House is, the Republican caucus is divided on. So in that letter, the bills, the House Appropriations Committee has been able to advance, have passed along strictly partisan lines with no chance of becoming law. This reads the letter. And whether the Senate bills pass or fail, all representative Republicans and Democrats deserve the opportunity to show their constituents that they are working to responsibly keep the government open, which I think, as we were talking about before the show, people don't like. I mean, I guess there's some people maybe out there who are like, stick it to them.
But it's it when you say that, it's you're sticking it to everyone.
You're sticking it to everyone.
Stick it to me.
Like, who likes the government shutting down instead of cooperation? Like, are there really that many people who are in favor? Like, because you're betting basically that you will get reelected despite the government shutting down because you will say these five hard right Republicans refuse to compromise. And yet they will probably get reelected.
Oh.
Maybe not Boebert.
Yeah.
You know what Aspen is in Boebert's district?
Aspen.
Aspen.
Really?
I never, and it was like, oh, that's why, you know, because she barely won again. But I didn't realize that specifically Aspen is in her district. I bet those people hate it.
I bet they do too.
Then do something about it,
well,
Aspen.
I think we can look forward to some really, really interesting campaign ads when it's Adam Frisch that's running against against Bobo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. His government or his PR team should have all kinds of stuff to work with.
Absolutely.
All kinds of things.
The following video
last time.
The following video we can't show you because it's not appropriate for all viewers.
Did you hear the newest part of that scandal of her Beetlejuice attendance?
No.
That her date owns a gay nightclub?
Oh, yes. And hosts drag shows.
Yes, and has drag shows. But she said she's not dating him anymore.
No,
now,
she was like,
because she didn't know that.
She didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which, like, was this just a Bumble match that you didn't do your due diligence on before you were like fondling each other in public?
Well,
which,
that's a very good point.
I mean, when you say that, then I mean you're just admitting you are a homophobe then. And so if someone calls you that, I mean, you broke up with a dude because he owns a gay bar.
True.
Lauren.
The dude that you allowed to stick his hand down your shirt in a public place, but that was okay.
But truthfully, how many of us really know what our spouses do for a living? Like, could you explain what Bridget does for a living?
Yes, but for comedy's sake, no.
Could you explain what Paul does for
a living? I could.
Okay.
Yep.
I can explain what Mike does for a living.
He throws parties.
I can tell you.
He organizes people's fun.
Yeah, he does.
This is like something I always tell people, like with regard, Bridget works in banking, but like she never deals with a teller, never deals with, she never takes a deposit or withdrawal. She works within the zeros and ones of banking. And you could take whatever she talks about and apply it to any other big business, but she still works in banking. I'm like, do you ever deal with mortgages? No.
But she does deal with numbers.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Zeros and ones could also be engineering.
Exactly.
Science,
yeah. So my wife is an engineer, essentially.
Yeah. Hey, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you if you have thoughts on the government shutdown and what the likelihood of bipartisanship could be, how much you've been paying attention to it, and how much you just kind of trust that it will work itself out like it typically does.
Trust.
844-967-2789. We also have some new updates on how the White House is interpreting bad polls, bad press, and it seems like they're not that worried about it. Should they be? 844-967-2789. We will be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach on the board, and just a heads up on what's coming up later on today's show. We are at 11 o'clock talking to CJ Safer, so I feel like I'm very excited to get a conservative point of view on all of the things that have been happening in Wisconsin.
There's a couple.
And I always appreciate when CJ is here because, you know, this is a pretty center-left to very left show. And as much as I try to check my own bias, I know where I stand on most things. And so having the opportunity to have a very civil conversation on a different perspective instead of just painting Republicans and conservatives in, you guys have very evil motivations,
right,
and actually getting someone's logical explanation for why people think differently than we do.
Well,
I always appreciate that with CJ.
Absolutely. And again, we've talked before, in having these dialogues, that's the only way that we're ever going to affect any change, yeah, for all of us. We all have to be willing to do that.
Well, and that's, I always come back to that, because ultimately, even as people who are on the left, people who are Democrats, depending on how you identify politically, even if the tables were turned, which is a long shot, right? Even if we got nonpartisan maps, there's been plenty of discussion on that is in no way meaning that the Democrats would take control of the legislature.
Right.
Like, we are a 50-50 state. And ultimately, to move things forward, we do need to compromise and find and negotiate instead of, like, exactly what's happening with these five Republicans who are holding the country hostage right now in the federal government. Like, just sticking to your guns and saying any kind of compromise is a bad look, or we're getting rolled, or whatever some of the things you see on Twitter, is you can't give an inch because it's all about winning versus governing. And that comes on both sides. That also comes on the left, which goes back to my question from last week of, like, who needs to be the bigger person?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, I think
we both do.
We both do. Governor Evers does. And even if he's gotten burned, like, it ultimately, I think you got to keep trying, but I'm also not the governor. So what do I know? So CJ's going to be here at 11, and then 11:30, I'm really excited to have this conversation before I leave. But the importance of intergenerational friendships. Do you, no matter what age you are, do you have a friend or multiple friends in your life that are not necessarily your family or your kids, but a friend, like someone you rely on? Maybe you met them through work. Maybe you met them through a different group that is in a totally different generation than, mm-hmm, you. Someone who is 15 years plus your senior, your younger. And we're going to talk about a little bit the importance of that, specifically because I would say Jane has become one of my very best friends.
Aww.
And we have a pretty big age difference.
We do.
And so we would love to hear from you at 11:30 of your intergenerational friendships and what they've brought to your life. So that's coming up at 11:30. But right now, you had an update for us on what the last shutdown was over, right,
yeah,
Jane?
Yeah. At the time, then President Trump conceded. This is when the government shutdown ended, the one that was for 35 days in 2018 to 2019. Trump conceded to mounting pressure to reopen the federal government, agreeing to a temporary funding measure allowing federal employees to return back to work. It did not include the billions and billions of dollars in border wall funding he demanded for the entire month of that shutdown.
Got it.
So they shut it down. Nearly a million federal employees went for 35 days without getting paid. And he got nothing out of it. And that's why this just never works out well. It doesn't. And maybe for the general public, it's in the transom of their brains, because if you don't go to a national park, it doesn't affect you, you know, if you're not directly impacted by it. But I would think those nearly million federal employees will remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how that upended their lives. And speaking of, the lives of our service members and all of their promotions being on hold because of one senator.
Yeah.
Who is a football coach.
I know. Tommy.
Tommy Tuberville.
Well, and it was interesting because that was, as we were kicking this around this morning, it's the question of, like, should five people be able to hold the government hostage? Should one person be able to hold these appointments hostage? And the answer is obviously no. Like,
right,
even if you agree with what the stance is, I mean, because for Tommy Tuberville, this has all been about the new term, which is just,
I know,
so degrading.
And offensive.
Abortion tourism.
Yeah, abortion tourism.
And to bring that into national security and the holding up appointments of our military over that issue, and just, it's just one guy.
Yep. And ostensibly he lives in Alabama, although reports are that he actually lives in Florida.
Yeah.
There's a lot of military people in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this seems like a bad long-term plan, Tom.
I know.
I got a couple texts from the 262. Keep in mind that some people, namely some irresponsible MAGA Republicans, just want to watch the world burn. That's why they elected Trump. And that's what makes them think that a government shutdown is just fine.
All right. Oh, good.
And John from the Falls. Good morning, everybody. No rational person that wants democracy to continue and keep enjoying the life that they have wants the government to shut down. However, there comes a point where you have to stand up to the bully. If we give into these clowns now, it will just happen again and again and again. P.S. Sorry to all the clowns out there I may have offended with this remark. They deserve better than that. You can always call us. You can always text us at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream, too, if you're watching the live stream.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back from this next break, we're going to talk a little bit about President Biden and the very cool nature that they seem to be taking as far as they are not worried. Chill out, bedwetters.
Chill.
And then we also have thoughts on a subplot story about Tim Scott.
Oh, I love this story.
And his single status and how that might be a bigger problem than any of his other demographic profiling when it comes to the Republican Party and Republican donors specifically. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes! Intercepted, he's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 57 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 81. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 56. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
Preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. I've got Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, super fun hump day Wednesday. And Jane, you are going to tell us, give us a little update on one of the sports tonight? Oh, you said, I thought you said, never mind. Okay.
Not folks, if you can see Jane's face right now, is absolutely hilarious. Just deer in headlights.
Tonight, Kristen Bry, the Brewers and at Cardinals at 6:45, and you can catch that fabulous game by our leading Brewers, I believe.
Yeah.
On WRJN, WRCE, and WISS.
There you go.
Tonight at 6:45 on your Civic Media stations.
Or you can download the Civic. Well, no, actually, the games you have to listen to on the station.
On the station.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't still download the Civic Media app if you have not done that yet. You can find that regardless if you have a Samsung, a Google phone, an iPhone.
Figured out how to do it, people.
I know.
You can do it.
And it sounds nice on there.
It does.
Sounds very nice.
And again, you can listen to everything all over the states, and it's very super easy and maybe shows you've never heard. You should check out Max Inc. on Saturdays.
Yeah.
If you like local music.
Yeah.
They do an amazing job.
Super fun.
Yeah.
All right. So I saw this morning in Axios, and one headline in the newsletter was Biden's White House to worried Democrats. Or was it bedwetters? Chill. But yes, Biden's team tells nervous Democrats, just chill. So last week was not a great week for President Biden. They indict Hunter. They also, there's the impeachment inquiries that are happening. There's an immigration crisis. There's always his age. There's an economy that, despite a lot of indicators, voters don't love. There's an auto strike that's testing his loyalty to the workers unions, especially because Trump's showing up at the picket lines. And there's also his polling. There was a new poll last week that shows that Trump is ahead by 1 point, that voters prefer Trump despite everything, 50% to 49%. And so there's a lot that I think. I mean, I was listening to Todd's show yesterday, and he had another, now I'm blanking on his name, but another Lincoln Project former Republican on there. And they were talking like the very, very real reality of Trump getting reelected. Because of our electoral college, it's not like he'll never win the popular vote.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about, but he doesn't have to.
No, he
doesn't. As we know all too well, is the fact that he needs, I mean, basically, was they saying, I forgot if they were saying if it was 2016 or 2020, where across three states, it basically amounted to 45,000 people. Us, our state being one of them.
Right.
Right.
Isn't
and
that
so
shocking?
It's not a lot of people in a lot of states that have to like Trump more than Biden. And so it's like there. Yes, I think there are a lot of people who are worried. And specifically last week, there was a Washington Post, David Ignatius, who was one of apparently one of Biden's favorite columnists, who wrote, quote, President Biden should not run again for 2024. And that dropped in that bad week of Hunter Biden's indictment, Trump's impeachment inquiry. And yet the White House is like not worried.
Take a chill pill up, dudes.
They're
it's
not
cool.
worried. And specifically, like they point to the fact that, you know, there are pundits and media who have always discounted Biden. Going back to like the 2020 primaries, where people after New Hampshire thought he was dead in the water, and then he came back and won New South Carolina, and then it was basically just over. And even last year, think about how many people were wrong going into the November election and the red wave that wasn't. And we are very, very far from any kind of conclusion on abortion in this state or nationally. And so that's certainly still going to be an issue next year, especially because it seems like Mr. Pristol, when the Supreme Court hears that case and potentially takes away the abortion pill from states where it is legal to get an abortion, that could really throw a wrench in those plans. And so between democracy and abortion, the White House isn't worried.
That's really interesting.
But should they be? 844-967-2789. Do you think the White House should show a little bit more concern than apparently they are as far as Biden's electability? Because we love that word. 844-967-2789. What do you think?
Well, I just wonder about the accuracy of polls. It just always makes me go, really? What are you talking to? 22 people? I mean, and we're so far away yet.
Oh, yeah.
We're a year, and I mean, okay, I mean, a little over a year away, but that's a long time. And a lot of things can happen before then. And don't forget, I mean, if Hunter Biden is found guilty, then good, send him away. I don't have a problem with that. And I think most Democrats don't have a problem with that.
I don't think there's anyone who's really standing up for Hunter. Like, I don't know any Democrat that's like really defending Hunter Biden and what he has or hasn't done.
Right.
I mean, what they point out is like, he's not running for president.
Exactly. And he was never in elected office.
Yes.
And so,
or held any position like Jared Kushner did.
For which he was completely unqualified and still got $2 billion from the Saudis. Huh.
Must be
But
nice.
That's fine. That deal was all above board and everybody knew, so that was fine. And we got the former guy who's facing 91 counts. And if he keeps opening his mouth, which he apparently cannot stop
not
talking. Yes. Judge Chutkan is going to have to really slap him with a gag order or something. And she could just move up the trial.
Yeah.
Whoosh. And that could change a lot of things. And especially isn't the one in Atlanta the one that will be televised? Because
yes.
At least one
yeah,
of them is going to be.
The federal one will not. So the one in D.C. will not, but the one in Atlanta will be.
In Atlanta will be.
Which will be a circus.
It will be a circus, but I also think that could be very, very impactful.
Yeah.
It could be. For those who are not hardcore MAGA. Because, he could set an infant on fire on an altar at a church, and hardcore MAGA would say, well, that's what he does.
It's bad when everyone else does it, but when he does it,
it's fine. And so, you know, he's forgiven.
Well, what do you think the Biden White House should be more concerned, or do you think this is the right approach of just like, we got it under control?
Well, I think
you've underestimated him before.
And we have. And I go back to the MAGAs being disbelieving when he got elected because he's hiding in his basement. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have boat parades, and he didn't have everybody wearing t-shirts with his name on it. And so obviously it was rigged.
No one was getting tattoos of his face on. Which is happening. There's one guy, I don't know if he's a rapper, but there's one guy who got a Trump tattoo.
Well, of course he did.
I think there's probably a lot. Probably of any of our presidents, do you think the most tattoos of Trump, of any president, is probably Trump?
Oh, certainly.
Because there's the most like cult-like following
Absolutely.
Of him.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's a lot of Obama tattoos?
There might be a few.
I have an Obama tattoo.
You do?
I do.
What is it, of his face?
Oh, it's not of his face, but the person you're looking for is Bandman Kevo. Got a make. Yeah, he has a Donald Trump tattoo on his leg. Mugshot. It's mugshot.
Oh, yeah.
It was because it happened recently. Because they're now making the argument that Trump is trying to angle to gain the black male vote by saying, you've been victimized by the criminal justice system. I've been victimized by the criminal justice system. We are the same.
I'd love to know how that's playing.
I don't know numbers or polls, but I've read some articles anecdotally with like a guy getting a tattoo, and there's some rappers and stuff like that who have been like, we're riding with Trump.
Remember,
I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference in like actual polling numbers
right.
or how people vote versus like one-off folks being like, yeah, this is great. But they're writing about it. They're making content about it.
And remember, in 2015, people were like, this is the Apprentice guy. Who's he going to appeal to? He appealed to the exact people that he makes fun of all the time, and they follow him around like he is sent from God. So don't underestimate his ability to work that weirdo magic on people, especially people who are like, I'll get a Trump tattoo on my leg. That sounds like a grand idea.
Well, and I know that Earl has talked about this. Earl Ingram has talked about this on his show. When you talk to Trump supporters and ask them to lay out his accomplishments, they're very general things. There's nothing specific because he didn't really pass any policies except for tax cuts for wealthy and the corporations.
He deregulated a bunch of stuff.
He deregulated a bunch of
EPA,
stuff.
Like, yes, environmental
and
stuff.
But as he never built the wall, guys. Sorry, he really didn't. It's true.
All right. Well, if you have thoughts on whether or not the Biden administration and the campaign team should be a little bit more nervous instead of telling everyone to chill out and they got it under control, 844-967-2789. And because I want to, speaking of, there's still a lot of time. We are now, I think the next Republican primary debate is the 27th.
Is it in Michigan?
I don't know where it is. I feel like we just had the one in Wisconsin, but that's coming up. And so that has died down some. But one of the storylines that has come out as far as the candidates, the primary candidates, all of whom are still polling basically under 10%. Under 10%. I think the last one I saw, it was still barely Ron DeSantis ahead, and then Ramaswamy at like 8 and Haley at 6 or 7 and everyone else below. So Tim Scott, not polling great, but still in the race. And this is more of like a bigger question because this was a story that came out last week a little bit more. And for people who, Tim Scott, only black senator, evangelical Christian, unmarried at 57, talks about the fact that he lost his virginity sometime between being 30 and 46, which is very long. It's a pretty big range to get to throw out publicly, but it's no one's business.
No, it's not.
He has talked about that he was, for a long time, was trying to save himself for marriage. He said he has a girlfriend.
Does she live in Canada?
Yeah, I know.
And no one's met her yet?
That's just the obvious joke.
He met her at camp.
And it's long distance. And so that is the obvious joke, but because like there's not a lot of proof that this girlfriend exists. But he also, which I totally understand, is like, I don't want to like bring her into the fold if I'm not going to marry her. And he's saying, he's like, I think he said in this, he's like, I want to, that's looking like where this could go, but it's still a reason they've been dating for like a year. He's like, I don't want to throw her in the national limelight unless I'm serious, which I think is a respectable answer.
I agree.
But it's affecting his fundraising.
Because he's single.
Because he's unmarried. Republican donors have been chattering recently about their concerns that Senator Tim Scott is unmarried at age 57. Scott, an evangelical Christian, has implied he lost his virginity sometime between the age of 30 and 46, and more recently said that he has a girlfriend. Now we're hearing that people are skeptical that Scott's purported girlfriend exists, but it's affecting his ability to raise money because there are there's Republican donors who are like, this doesn't add up. And I just, what my question is, one, if he was white and unmarried, would that change anything?
No, because we have Lindsey Graham.
But he's not running for president.
Still, we look at Glenn Grothman, our very own Glenn Grothman. Single, never married.
So, and then who's ever been unmarried that's run for president?
Well.
James Buchanan.
Okay, is that it?
I think so, yeah.
So I just think this is interesting as far as how much does being unmarried actually matter when you're running for president? 844-967-2789. We will keep this conversation going on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on the board, and we are talking about Tim Scott, and maybe he was a long shot anyways, and that's why this story hasn't gotten more traction, but I still think it's an interesting identity politics question, because basically there was a Washington Post story that was talking about Scott's romantic pursuits, and they aren't so much a scandal so much as they are a mystery, and the possible liability in the Republican primary, where there's a lot of evangelical voters in Iowa, and he is an evangelical Christian, but they also value marriage and children. And so does his unmarried status create a problem? And apparently to some donors, they say yes. There's also probably very unfair because he is unmarried and because there's not a lot of evidence of his girlfriend. You know, people have thrown out that maybe he's gay.
Yeah, maybe he's secretly gay.
And I think it's like, it raises question of like, would this happen if he was a Democrat? Like, would that be in the same way, you know, we're so worried about Biden's age or like these different things of like, can they win? Are they electable? Because on the Democratic side, in this state, we have talked about can they win when we're talking about Mandela Barnes.
Right.
And, you know, certain electability code worded things of race, gender. And so is unmarried one of those things? And is it the same on Democrat versus Republican?
844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. I believe that this is an excuse. They're going to say that, yes, we're not comfortable because he's unmarried. And who knows what could happen in the White House. Well, first of all, folks, there's no guarantee that just because you're married, there won't be any hanky-panky going on in the White House. Just look back over the last 40 years. So that expectation is ridiculous.
But do you think, I don't think they're worried about what's going to happen in the White House. I think they're worried if people will vote for him or not.
Because he's unmarried. But again, the implication being what? That he's a hound dog? That he's going to be
that
kidding
he's not
on?
He's not a wife man. Like in the same way Pence and Ron DeSantis are like wife guys.
He doesn't hold our family values.
Who talk about their wives and their family. There's like a value on being, I wonder how much it's like exactly what we were talking about yesterday of like, once you have a family, you get it. And like, so like Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence can understand family values better because they have a family. And how would someone who's unmarried without kids ever really understand that?
I still think it's an excuse and they don't want to vote for him because he's black and they can't say that out loud.
And he said that out loud.
I do. I think it's a convenient, we can't say we don't want to vote for the black guy. So let's say his unmarried status makes me uncomfortable. Let's say that.
But if that is really it, then it basically is the same thing on the Democratic side. And while there are certainly way more, I mean, like we said, he's the only black senator, only black Republican senator, sorry. That electability thing is certainly used a lot in Democratic circles and Democratic races. That is a veiled word for race.
Yeah.
So if that holds true, and it's not really about being unmarried or married, is either side any better?
We would know if Cory Booker ran for president.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, he was unmarried.
He still is, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he admitted who his girlfriend was because she was famous at the time. I don't think they're together anymore,
no,
though.
No, they broke up soon after that came out anyways. But if he ran for president, like, and mounted a serious challenge, would that be a case? I don't know. I don't know.
That, looking back at that, was that issue ever raised when he was running in 2020?
It certainly wasn't the point where I saw articles saying that donors weren't going to donate to him.
I totally forgot about Cory Booker until you just said that.
That's what I'm here for, baby. Weird
but
facts.
That's a good point. And he also, I mean, I like Cory Booker, but he also kind of has an ethos of Tibbs, like his really over the top niceness and genuine, like, oh God, you're kind of a nerd. Like, calm down a little bit.
Him and Tim Scott have done
edge.
Him and Tim Scott have done a lot of press together, talking as two black men who are senators who have certain values, who disagree on certain things, but they can come together. And it's interesting discussions. Like, Cory Booker can be kind of like outgoingly dorkish.
Oh, totally.
But when you listen to him talk about the job and what he thinks he should be doing, he's amazing. And when you listen to those two talk together, it's almost like all the noise is turned off and you're like, yeah, this is like two people who disagree talking and everything we talk about as far as compromise and working together, this is it. But then they go to work and then.
Yeah. That's an interesting, I've never thought about that parallel before today, but I think it's an actually really strong one of those two together. And their dorkiness.
I'd listen to that podcast.
But they're genuine dorkiness.
Yeah.
Now that's a title for a podcast.
There you go. Genuine dorkiness.
I like that.
Well, the last thing I wanted to touch on before we take a break for the first hour and come back with CJ Safer at the top of the next hour. Any thoughts on the wardrobe changes that are about to happen in the Senate? Big deal? Not a big deal? Is decorum dead?
Well,
is this all just because of Fetterman not wanting to wear a suit?
Pretty much. I think so. That's all I can imagine. Thank God it's not in the House, because I can only imagine what Bobo would wear.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, and I don't see Feinstein or...
Well, Feinstein's not dressing herself anyway, so fine.
Ooh.
I said it. I said it. Don't...
Yeah, that's usually something I say.
You were all thinking it.
But quite frankly, and I'm all about comfort, and I've been in radio all my life, and we dress like slobs, which I love this aspect of our job. I think you should dress up a little bit more when you're a senator.
I do. I even think that too.
I do.
Honestly, I mean, I think you can have a crisp jeans, nice shoes. Like, you can have a casual, like you see all these guys running around with their button-down shirts and those vests. Let them wear those. And women, I don't know. I'm not going to tell a woman what she can and can't wear.
But I've also been told that, like, suits are like, if suits fit you, they're very comfortable. Like for men's suits that actually are tailored to you.
But big guys, it's a whole other world. It's
but
a whole,
even if you have a tailor,
we don't. Yeah, but it's not. It's hard to tailor to a big guy. It really is.
And he is a big guy.
He is.
He's a big guy. But I don't want to feel for that.
I don't want to see him in a hoodie and shorts. I don't.
I know. All right. Well, we're gonna take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, CJ Safer will be here to talk about Wisconsin politics from the other side of the aisle. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Sheriff's deputies in Tennessee are now facing charges in the death of a black man. WREG-TV reporter Bria Jones says the deputies allegedly punched the man, kicked him, and kneeled on his back while he was having a psychotic episode.
9 Shelby County deputies have been indicted over the death of Gershon Freeman. He died back in October of 2022 inside the Shelby County Jail. And right now, Sheriff Bonner, he says he stands behind those 9 officers, even going so far as to say that he